displayed.
So basically what we're saying is that apps are pretty much just like everything else.
They're just like everything else.
There's high volume, low price, there's quality, rare, expensive.
Yep. It's like websites. You know, yep. you can have a cookie cutter website or you can have a custom website.
Yep.
Which one costs you more? The custom one, obviously.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you're a business and you want to have an application that extends something that you've got, or it's a marketing funnel, or it does something cool like calculate.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here, and today I have a special guest from Internet Software Systems, Steve Ovens. Welcome, Steve.
G'day, James.
So you're up visiting the lab, and we've been discussing all things internet marketing for the last few days. Thought it'd be good to record some ideas that we've been talking about.
Sure, yep.
You up for that?
Up so in the spaceship, it's good.
You're quite a technical fellow.
I've heard it said, yes, background in software development. And so, yes, I do tend to the technical.
Right. So something on my mind that I don't have a huge technical knowledge about is applications. We're hearing a lot about technology changing. I'm currently writing a post about Kindles because I've switched from books to Kindles.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that apparently.
And I'm interested in publishing to the Kindle format. But the other thing that's pretty popular are apps.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are asking about making apps, and lots of businesses are interested in can somebody make an app for them. And yeah, a lot of people have that question. You know, how do I start? How do I go about building an app? And I guess the first thing is just like a website, you got to what's the purpose of it? You know, why are we making the app in the first place? Because just because the boss thinks it's a good idea, or you know, Bill down the road's got one, I think I should have one, is not a good idea. So we want the app to have some sort of purpose in a business. And that it might be just to extend your reach. So real estate companies, for example, are using that to encourage people to go to open homes and that sort of thing. They're giving them those sorts of applications. But the thing that people struggle with is often that they just don't know where do you start. How do you actually go about making an app? Do you want me to talk a bit about that? Or
yeah, I'm just thinking why someone wants an app. There's a few groups, I guess. One would be you have a business like the real estate agent, and they want to extend something of value to a potential audience.
Yep.
I guess there's the other type who watched a webinar by a guru that told them they're going to be rich.
Yes, there's plenty of them.
Is that yep. Do those people generally succeed, or are they just $2,000 out of pocket?
I suspect the largest number of them will be $2,000 out of pocket.
What do you think is – what would cause that? Is there a big disconnect between the fantasy of having a money-making app and actually implementing it? Is it harder than they say, or is it just as easy as it's made out?
Look, I think like a lot of business opportunities, they do – like there's a lot of business models that work, but – you often have to have the context to be able to approach them and succeed. And what a lot of people are missing is that initial context that really allows them to evaluate, is this the right business model for me? Do I have the skills that are going to predispose me to be likely to succeed in this thing? And even to be just to be able to even evaluate the claims that are often made. You know, when they put in the small print, you know, these results are not typical. That's exactly what they mean. These results are not typical.
Not typical, right. You know. So it's people who have the context to be able to make it work and do quite well with it. Look, where are you app with your Apple app revolution? Like you used to design software in Silicon Valley at some point.
Yeah, I did. I spent 4 years in San Jose, California, which is down the road from Apple, a little bit down the road from Apple. And that was really good fun. We did some really cool stuff. I used to create – so before there was Google Maps, I was working with a company that made mapping applications. And it's probably still the most fun that I've had doing something I was really passionate about, loved doing it with a great group of people. It was just really good fun.
So there's a chance that apps will be that next wave of passion for you.
Yeah, I think there's a fair chance. There's certainly I'm certainly interested in the topic. I've actually been along to some introductory training on, what is all this app stuff about? Because even though I've got, even though I've been building software since I was in short pants, it doesn't mean that I'm a good app developer. I can't just start building apps. There's a whole bunch of stuff to learn. Now, that's because I want to know enough about it to make good decisions about, who do I hire to build the apps for me? What should I be thinking about when I'm designing an app? Because, one of the things is that the typical app device, the mobile device, it's really designed for content consumption. You think about how you use a mobile phone or an iPad. It's 10 seconds while I'm standing in the bank queue. It's not something that you necessarily spend hours on crafting a document. It's not designed to be a word processing platform. So you've got to build an app that fits in with how people use it. I'm not talking about games.
Yeah, I was just thinking with games. I know some spend more than 5 minutes on certain games. I think some of that Get Rich BizOp was focusing around the game side of it. So are we talking about two different things here maybe?
Oh, certainly. I think the games market is very competitive, and I think that the typical approach that people were taking was they're saying, oh, let's look at an app that's doing really well. So we see Angry Birds is doing really well. It's a super popular game. Let's go and create something that's a lot like that in terms of maybe the game physics or the gameplay.
Does it make a little bit of vomit come into your mouth? Just the thought of how unoriginal and uninspiring
Model, in inverted commas, model off somebody that's already come up with a great idea.
Right. Why reinvent the wheel when you can just steal one?
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, the things that I find interesting and exciting are the ones where, you actually do have an idea and you go, well, wouldn't this be cool as an app? And, when we've talked about your wealthification process, for example, that's one that, to me, stands out as, wow, it's something that would be an original app. And I shouldn't be giving away such great ideas as this.
There are things like that, like business model generation apps.
Absolutely.
That's the sort of thing that I would use as a consumer.
Yeah.
And I do. And then I find that it's...
doesn't do quite what you want,
does it? It's not quite solving the problem that I've been able to solve with Excel spreadsheets.
Yes.
So I guess we're coming at a completely different angle here. This is a business extension of something that I already have in my information division, and it would probably cross across into the software area of my business where I'd want to extend the problem-solving ability of my offer beyond just the format that it's currently in and take it into a portable arena.
Yeah, that's right. And it means that, and you could use that in a number of different ways. I mean, you might say, here's an app which it could be there to create an audience for you, or which the business model generation one is a good example of that. It kind of presumes that you know the information that's in the book to be able to use it really effectively.
So it sells the book if you don't
know. So it sells the book. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and it's also the sort of app that people who are interested in business but share with each other.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember which of us. I don't know whether you gave it to me or I gave it to you and said, hey, you got to check this out. It's really cool.
Rhodes gave me the book.
Yeah.
And then I've been sent the PDF and the app by several other people saying, this is the sort of stuff you're interested in.
Yeah.
So they've identified that level of interest.
And I think with those types of apps too, unlike the games where it might be $1.99 for an app, I think the business model generation one is $42 or something. So it's
And for someone like me, it's
for a business, it's like
I'd buy a book worth that much, and a thing that's on my iPad is great.
Yeah.
So how much does an app cost
to build or to make or to buy?
Well, it depends. I'll be buying or be selling.
That's right. to build an app, again, this is where, because you've got a couple of different options for making an app, and the first thing is that you could just create a mobile-friendly website. That's certainly an option.
So that's a basic form of app.
It's a basic form of app. When you consider that an app is just a way for you to create interactive content that's available on a mobile device, it's an app. It just happens to be packaged in a mobile-friendly format. But there are limitations with that because, you know, from inside of a web page, I can't click a button and have it take a photo or some video or go into my user library or read the gyroscope if I'm on an iPhone. Yeah, it's none of those things that are available in the device.
I didn't understand anything you just said.
The propeller started spinning. Well, you know, I can't press a button on a web page and make my
the
iPhone
gyroscope.
Take
I'm massively impressed.
Yeah, I can't make a photo happen from inside of a web page. Because the web page is running on your server and the app is, the iPhone
in a local
is just, it's just
device.
A window onto that.
Yeah? Right.
But it is, if all you had to do was fill out a form and submit, which would be, of course you wouldn't submit because we don't submit. Wanted to, you know, continue or
send it now,
buy now, that would be okay as an app design. And it could be a good way to prototype a design and test it out.
Minimum viable product. Just get it out there and
get
see
it out
if
there,
people
see if
say this
it.
Is great. You know, it'd be good if it could do this or that.
Yeah, exactly. So then the next level that you kind of step up to, once you start saying, well, I really want this to run as a native app, because, of course, the other problem with a web app is it has to be on the internet. Okay, if I haven't got internet access, I can't sit there. I can't play Angry Birds if it's an internet app if I haven't got internet.
Yeah? Right.
So if I want to use my app, and it's a web app, have to have internet. So then the next level you step to is, well, I really want this to run on the device. And what you then hit is the problem that the two most popular platforms, which is iPhone and Android, are completely incompatible. They don't talk to one another. So it'd be kind of like if some websites only worked on Firefox and some only worked on Chrome. But, you know, if you had a website, it could be one or the other and you couldn't have both. That's kind of what where we're at the moment with mobile apps. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So you've then got to either say, well, what I'll do is I'll use you can develop an app to run on a platform which effectively will let the app run on either device. So it's like it's an interpreter platform.
What do they call that?
An interpreter.
Oh, really?
that's what
they call it.
Yeah, it's a runtime interpreter. So you write an app which works on the runtime interpreter platform. And then if it's running on an Android, it says, oh, the user want, you know, they click the button that says take a photo, and it makes the call, it translates that into the Android, please take a photo on the Android.
Gotcha.
And if it's an iPhone, same thing. The issue with that is that you don't get access to all of the functionality of the device because it can only give you what's available in all the devices. So it's sort of the minimum available functionality. If you only need a few basic things, it might work. The other real problem is if you're trying to make a best-selling app or something that's actually going to succeed financially on its own right as an app, there's no apps in the top 100 that are...
Right, so you've got to basically be hardcore specialist for that platform.
Yeah, so you've really got to say, look, I want to do an iPhone or I want to do an iOS.
And is this very, very expensive to develop multiple platforms?
Yes, because you can't reuse. The only bits you could reuse is the graphics.
How much are some companies paying for these apps to get developed?
Well, it comes down then to the complexity because developing – so the bit that I know about is iPhone app development. I don't know anything about Android.
In Australia, I think we have a much higher iPhone.
Yes, iPhone.
Like 50% or something.
It's quite high. Yeah.
Massive market share.
I think the interesting thing too is even though Apple has quite a small percentage overall of the phone market – they are the most profitable, and the user base is kind of loyal. I'm looking for the right word there. They're quite passionate about, I think, the devices and stuff. And I think people that's the market that appeals to me. So I decided to go off and say, well, I want to specialise in iPhone. But everything I'm saying would be equally
true for Android. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a more controlled environment.
Much
so
more controlled.
Probably more reliable for you to depend on.
And again, there's two models here. I know you've read the Steve Jobs as well.
Open and closed.
Open and closed.
Closed gets high quality
high
and
quality,
open gets
good
crap.
User experience.
Is that right? I think that was the summary.
That was the summary, you know. You know, so it's almost like watching Apple and Windows again. You know, this is exactly that same battle, only this time it's iPhone, you know, closed, high quality, you know, reliable, dependable. You know, but like to get an app
Is it Apple versus Google now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So Google, like, they love to pick a fight, don't they? They'll take on Facebook and they'll take on Apple.
At the same time.
Because I think they lost the Facebook one, though.
Oh, Google Plus will come back.
Sure. You can Google Plus me the update about
it. Oh, I will. I'll be sure to. Yeah, so really in the end, you sort of pick a horse. And for me, that was the iPhone. And what you then hit is the fact that developing for the iPhone, you're using it's a much higher level language than your typical web developer uses. So you can usually easily find developers like PHP coders or Visual Basic coders and, you know, those sorts of languages. iPhone apps are written in what's called Objective-C, which is an object-oriented language, and it's something that is a different way of thinking as a programmer, and it takes a bit of – it's just a bit of expertise.
So what you're saying, it's going to cost more.
It's going to cost more. That's what you're getting the summary. Right? And it does. And I think that's the other thing that people are often not prepared for is that – now, the caveat I'll put on this is if what you want is an iPhone app that just wraps your website – then companies have pretty – they've got
which
cookie,
I
which
had for,
got.
For yeah. internet marketing speed.
Yeah. And how much was that? I mean, was that
like
a lot of money?
$99 or something. It's like pulls in my YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, I think.
Yeah. So companies have got effectively cookie cutter templates for those sorts of basic apps where they say, look, oh, it's a website. You know, you give me this feed, this feed, this feed. I mash them all together and I give you an app with a couple of buttons and your content displayed.
So basically what we're saying is that apps are pretty much just like everything else. High volume, low price, there's quality, rare, expensive.
It's like websites. You know, you can have a cookie cutter website or you can have a custom website.
Yep.
Which one costs you more? The custom one, obviously.
Gotcha. So if you're a business and you want to have an application that extends something that you've got, or it's a marketing funnel, or it does something cool like calculate mortgage repayments or whatever.
Yep.
Where are those companies going to get help? Do they find boutique builders? Do they go overseas?
So there's a few different options there. If you have somebody internally in your company who is a skilled project manager and good at hiring people, then you could certainly conceivably hire a team yourself. The things that you need to be careful of when hiring overseas is the same as for any overseas hire that you're doing in any other role in your business. Can I trust them? You know, if I pay them X thousand dollars to build me some code, do they finish the job?
Will
it be supported? You know, will it be spaghetti code that nobody else can understand and only they can support, or is it something that I could feasibly give to another developer in the future to add more enhancements to? Will they just take that code and resell it to somebody else, or do I own, you know, because some countries, the copyright protection laws and, you know, contract for hire laws that say, well, I paid for this, that's mine, and you can't, you know, once you've finished the job, it's all mine and you can't reuse it. Some people don't seem to abide by that. So you really want to be sure that you're working with a reliable.
And so the other spectrum is, I guess, you'd have a company that just does everything.
You'd have a company
in the same country that
that takes care of that for you. And look, like with everything else, you know, what a business should be asking themselves, the same as if they're building a website or getting SEO done or any of those sorts of activities, is that part of my core business that I should be creating a specialty in and therefore, you know, hiring internally for it? Or is this really a function that is best left to a specialist?
Right.
And, you know, in that case, bring the specialist in, because even though you might pay more for that specialty skill to get the job done, once the job's done, you're not paying for them, you know, they're not on your staff wages for the rest of the time.
Yeah, it's a contract.
It's a contract.
Open, close. That was really interesting. I think you've brought us up to speed with a little bit more app stuff. I guess we could call this the first app date. And I'd like reader questions to come through. Would you come back and answer some of them if we get?
Be more than happy.
This is like such a huge emerging field, and I want to get us up to date with it.
Sure, mate. Happy to.
Give us a final thought about apps to close on here.
Well, look, The thing that has attracted me to it is that it is such a growing market. I mean, people are just consuming apps and content on mobile devices at a growth that's just explosive. It is, you know, I was in Silicon Valley for the original tech bubble. I feel like I'm here for the next one, and it's just exciting to be a part of it all over again. I think it should be something that businesses are looking at and saying, does it fit my business?
Starting to research and get a feel for.
You know, should I be getting into this? Exactly.
Thanks, Steve-O. It's Steve-O from InternetSoftwareSystems.com.
Thanks, mate.
I'm James Shramko. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.